welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have had a blessed week. It's been great here down at Health Masters. The weather's actually really phenomenal today. It's been a joy. So, yeah, we got a lot of interesting articles for you today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. But I want to let everybody know that T-Mobile and Metro, if you're listening live, are going to start charging a penny a minute to listen to the show, along with the other shows that are also being featured on Global Star Radio Network. Now, if you listen 1 hour later, if you listen it from 4 to 5 on the other phone number, that is basically the 24-hour listen line of the repeat of the show, they do not charge for that show yet. So I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, if they're just working through the alphabet, if they're trying to reduce the amount of people that are listening to alternative media, or if it's just straight-out greed, because it doesn't sound like a lot, 60 cents, listen to a show, whatever. It happened to me the other day when I was going to Tallahassee for the Florida State game, Austin. I basically ended up in a situation where I got stuck listening to Alex Jones paying 60 cents a minute, or a penny a minute, 60 cents an hour. And I thought, whatever, I got a 4-hour drive. I don't care about spending a couple bucks. But you know, you figure with Alex, so you figure $2.40 a day, you know, that's $10-$12 a month, a week. If you're listening to it every day and you're looking at $40 a month, and 1,000 people be 40,000, you know, 10,000 people be 400,000, 100,000 people be 4 million, all right? A million people be, you know, $40 million in generated revenue. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really adds up when the numbers get big, and perhaps T-Mobile's decided they're going to start really taxing people that are listening to the show. So what I suggest that you do, you listen to it on iTunes, you listen to it on the Internet, or you can also listen to it on the 24-hour listen line if you're listening right now driving down the road. And, of course, that show is updated every 24 hours, and it's brand new again. If you get a chance, Austin, do you have that phone number with you right now? Because I don't have
it. Yeah, I got it right in front of me right now. Let me pull it up. It's the 24-hour feed, which will start this show. It will start replaying again at 4. It's 641-552-5310. That's 641-552-5310.
So you can listen to this show in an hour from now, and it'll be the exact same show, but it won't be live, but it'll be the exact same show, and you won't have to pay for it. If you want to do it that way, that's entirely up to you. But we're not making any money on this at all. They didn't call me up and say, we're going to start charging for your show, and we're going to give you X amount of dollars. That's not what happened here. We're not doing that. We don't do that. And I don't like this intrusion, but apparently AT&T is working their way towards that too. And Verizon, who's like got pretty good coverage but has the worst customer service of any phone company I've ever had, which I never ever want to use again, and I got rid of those guys. I don't know what they're doing, but I can't recommend Verizon regardless, but I know some of you folks, that's the only thing you get in your area, and I know it's got to be frustrating dealing with them, with their customer service department. First story of the day, two new studies released this month, including Egyptian scientists, have validated the link between autism and mercury. In an article published in the Journal of Metabolic Brain Disease, a team of 9 scientists from leading Egyptian universities and medical schools have confirmed the role of mercury in the onset of autism. Wow. The scientists determined the extent of mercury poisoning in children by measuring the urinary excretion of organic compounds called porphyrins. Figure it out yourself there, guys. I just kind of lost on that one. Which act as biomarkers for mercury toxicity. The research also measured blood levels of mercury and lead. The researchers found a strong relation between mercury toxicity and the presence of autism, and a direct correlation between levels of mercury and autistic symptoms. The scientists studied 100 children, 40 with autism, 40 healthy ones, and 20 healthy siblings. The results showed that the children with ASD had a significantly higher mercury levels than the healthy children and the healthy siblings. Children with the highest mercury levels had the most severe autistic symptoms. And, of course, we know this because our FDA covered this up with Thompson just a couple of years ago when he came forward and he said that they proved statistically that these black boys had a much higher incidence of autism after immunizations from the MMR shot. And the FDA and the CDC were basically told to destroy the research, destroy the evidence, and cover it up. So guys, it's just all over the place. You'd have to be kind of like living in a cave in Afghanistan with Osama bin Laden, who died of kidney failure in 2001, by the way, you know, to not know this. Yesterday, I was over at a paint shop getting some paint to do some painting around the house. And I'll never forget, there was a girl, a lady in there. She had two boys with her. And they were being boys. They were, one of them was like 3 years old, one of them was like 5 years old, and they were unbelievably wild. But I looked at them, and they weren't exhibiting autistic symptoms. They were just wild boys. And I started talking to her, and she told me that basically they had only had a few shots, and that she would not do the shot schedule because it was ridiculous. And that the only problem she had is she had to travel some out of the country with her husband, and they wanted to give them all these different immunizations. And I told her, I said, well, be very careful what you allow them to inject in her. And then I told her, I asked her where they went to school. They go to the Montessori school, like for gifted kids, because the kids are brilliant children, you could tell. And I'll never forget, I started laughing at her, and I said, have you ever asked the people over there how many of the educated parents who have these smart kids who are in Montessori, how many of these educated parents have ever given their children immunizations? And she goes, well, I can't speak for all the Montessori schools, but I know in our particular school, the parents that I've talked to, pretty much all of them have never immunized their children. Never.
There you go.
There you go. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. The demographics of the immunizations are as such. The folks that are highly educated, like our listeners on this show, who are smart, who want to know the truth, they don't immunize their kids, period. It's the ones who don't listen to alternative radio, who believe the mainstream lies, and who do what they're told to do, like the sheeple are told to do. They're the ones with the autistic children. So, guys, it's almost like a self-weeding out deal here. The kids, the real smart kids with the smart parents are going to be reproducing because they're not going to get immunized. And all the other kids who have the parents who don't care, who don't really understand what's going on, they're not going to be reproducing because of the amount of autism they're going to have in their families. There's going to be a giant curve at the end of that bell that's going to say, wait a minute, the smarter kids with the smarter parents are going to have the kids that don't have autism who reproduce. Now, guys, this is all part of that eugenics protocol, because think about this with me for a second. When they started Planned Parenthood, and Sanger basically got in there and started talking about how she wanted to kill all the blacks, and this lady was a complete total racist. And, you know, and how the black pastors have to be enrolled into their cause and be paid under the table to tell the parents of these children who are black to get abortions. She said that. This is the big person that Hillary Clinton is so happy about, right? She's the one who started Planned Parenthood and is responsible for the death indirectly of 60 million children through the satanic Luciferian sacrifice of these abortions. So, guys, just for just a second, listen to me for a second, please. If you haven't had children yet, if you're planning on having kids, or if you have grandchildren, please help these kids by teaching their parents the truth. Now, I'm going to post this article. I'm going to send it to Austin right now, the full study that was done, and I'm going to post it on Health Master so you guys can read it yourself so you know that we don't make this stuff up as we go. See, that's the thing about our alternative news show. I'm not saying there aren't people out there that say things that aren't true, because there are. I mean, and that's one of the biggest problems that I have are these spoof sites, these satire sites, Austin. They'll do an article, and they'll actually have three-quarters of it be completely true, and then the next quarter of it is just completely false because it's satire, yep. And they make fun of it. And I've actually gotten hooked a couple of times, and I read through this, and I'll go, wow, okay, well, that's weird. I didn't expect that. And then I read at the bottom, it says this article is satire. I'm like, well, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding. So in other words, what they're doing is they're making fun of the alternative media by saying it's all satire. That's why they do that. This is a little psychops they're doing on people. That's why they put those sites out there. I have a real problem with those sites because they put out a lot of information that is completely and totally false. And those are the ones that, if they're going to go after anybody, Austin, they need to go after those guys. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in that peer-reviewed study that we went into detail about, and I'll reiterate on it again because I want people to remember exactly what we talked about. This was a peer-reviewed study where researchers collected health information on over 660 children from a survey conducted in 2012. Of mothers of children between the ages of 6 and 12 years of age in four states, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Oregon. According to the abstract, a team of four scientists found that completely unvaccinated children were more likely to get chickenpox and whooping cough, but very significantly less likely to suffer from ear infections, pneumonia, allergies, brain and central nervous system disorders, and autism. They found that vaccinated children were more than twice as likely to have some chronic illness. Vaccinated children also were nearly four times as likely to have learning disabilities, ADD, and autism. Vaccinated children who were born prematurely were more than six times more likely to have brain or central nervous system disorders, including autism. Now, guys, this wasn't some research study where they used 10 or 15 test subjects. This was 660 children between the ages of 6 and 12 years of age. So this is very significant numbers that you're starting to see here, and this is why we've talked about it so many times on the show, and we will continue to talk about it over and over and over again on the show. And for our listeners that already know this and you don't vaccinate your kids, that's awesome. Just bear with us, because we get all kinds of new listeners on a daily and weekly basis, and this is one of the most important things you have to realize when you're going to have children, because if you allow yourself to get into this medical model with the vaccines, it's a vicious cycle. We've talked about it in detail with prescription drugs. It's the exact same way with vaccines. I've seen it happen personally in people's lives. They have children. They're perfectly healthy. They go in for 6 months. They get all these shots. They get ear infection. Then they get pneumonia. Or then they get some type of strep throat. Then they have to go on antibiotics. Then they go back to the doctor in a couple months, and it's another round of vaccines. They go on another round of vaccines. They get a fever, get sick, so they go back on antibiotics.
That's
by the time
right.
they're 2 years of age, they've literally had between 20 to 30 vaccines. They've already gone through 5 to 6 rounds of antibiotics. They're having all types of issues with yeast and digestive issues, chronic ear infections, chronic runny nose, chronic colds, chronic fever all the time. The easiest thing to do is let the immune system do what it does best, run naturally, and allow it to basically gain immunity from these things that your body's naturally exposed to, and then it giving the body natural nutrients like vitamin C and D3 do an incredible job at boosting the immune system from a completely natural basis without any need for unnecessary vaccinations that are full of so many different toxic adjuncts that we've talked about here in detail. It's disgusting to me. So, yeah, Dad, I wanted to kind of just touch base on that research again, because it's really significant when you start seeing that, how much more likely the children are to have issues with the immune system, with health, including increase in autism, between 4 to 6 times what they're seeing, especially 6 times with kids that were born premature.
I couldn't have said it any better, Austin. That was well put, well said, well documented. The thing about this is, this is a very touchy subject, and I've told you guys many times, back when I was on the seminar circuit doing these big seminars all around the country, when I talked about the top 10 foods never to eat, this is over 20 years ago, I was like the lone ranger crying out in the wilderness telling people not to eat pork and shellfish and trans fats and aspartame, right? You know, I mean, nobody else was even doing that. I was the one doing that. And what was interesting is a few shows and TV shows and radio shows that I actually mentioned immunizations on, I was just deluged with medical people calling me up and screaming and cussing at me. And so I learned very quickly that step away from certain topics when you're in a environment in which the market hasn't been cultivated yet as far as the discussion of those topics. But now, 20 years later, so many people have children with autism, so many people have kids who have learning disabilities, that it's gotten so bad that people, especially the parents of these children, are looking at what caused this, and they want to know the truth. So now I don't get that type of blowback anymore when we talk about this stuff, because so many other people are also talking about it. The biggest thing you run into is that when you get into the medical professionals who give these immunizations to these children, and you realize that they're making a lot of money on these routine baby visits. Guys, remember something. To me, if a baby's healthy, the baby's eating, the baby's sleeping, the baby's gaining weight, the baby's getting longer, the baby's full of energy, why take that baby to a pediatrician with a whole room full of sick kids? What is the point of that? And see, that's why our children have never had a pediatrician. We have a general practitioner that they get stitched up or have to get stitched up or whatever. They can go to that person. But as far as the children themselves, they don't have pediatricians. They never have had a pediatrician, because I've never seen any sense in taking a healthy baby to the doctor. to inject them with who knows what. I have no point, any purpose in doing stuff like that. Now, also, one more thing that I've got to tell you guys. When you start talking to people about immunizations, it's really important not to pull the fire hose out and pull it down, shove it down their throat and start hosing them down. Okay? You got to ease into this topic very lightly. And you can say to them, oh, have you immunized a child like I did yesterday? She said, well, I've only done a few immunizations. And I said, oh, okay, you're smart, you're educated. That's how I started. Even though she's done a few of them, she already knows what's going on, so she's trying to avoid the problems. So then I start bringing in, talking about more stuff, giving her more stuff to think about. See, that's the same thing with Christianity. If you want somebody to become a Christian, you don't get in their face and start screaming and telling them they're going to hell. It just, you know, it's not effective. It just doesn't work, especially nowadays. People think you're crazy. You've got to talk to them about the positive aspects of Christianity and why they need to be saved and why everyone needs to be saved and what, when you accept Jesus Christ, what happens in your life and how God becomes closer to you. That's what you talk about, the positive aspects of Christianity. Now, can you tell them the benefits of Christianity and then also talk a little bit about the bad parts? Yes. And should you talk about repentance? Yes. Could you talk about a new life? Yes. Can you talk about not doing the same things you were doing before you got saved? Yes. Through the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just happy, happy, happy Christianity either, in which you get saved and you continue living like you did before you got saved and you think God's going to step into your life now and change everything. Because remember, God is not a man that he'll be mocked. He'll do what you do for him back to you, if that makes any sense. It's kind of like playing checkers. You know, God kind of plays checkers with you. You know, if you're playing checkers with God and you make a move and he makes a move and you make a move and he makes a move and you make a move and he makes a move, you got a good game going. He's really enjoying being with you and hanging out. If everything is one-sided and everything he's doing is for you and you're not doing anything in return, pretty soon he gets kind of bored. He kind of picks up the checkerboard and goes plays with somebody else who wants to be interactive. Now, I know that sounds very strange to a lot of you, but that's how it works. If God calls you to a specific purpose and tells you to do a specific thing and you do it, he's going to continue to give you more and more and more stuff because he trusts you and he knows you'll follow and do what he asks you to do. If, on the other hand, you choose not to do those things and only do what you want to do and basically ignore God until you need him, and then when you need him, you shoot up a flare gun and say, help! He's going to go, oh, you again. I'll send a boat here in a little bit. We'll be good. Let me know how it works out for you. Because he's not going to be involved in your life. He's not going to want to be involved in your life on a daily aspect of it, because you're like a mean little bratty child who only calls home when you need help. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's true. That's how God... He cares so much about us that he wants that relationship with us. You know, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's not about going to church and saying, you know, 20 Hail Marys and 20 different prayers and running around the altar three times and jumping up and down and dancing around the church and all these other things that people do. I mean, if you want to do all that stuff, that's entirely to you. But that's not about what the relationship is. The relationship is that you can call him Abba Father, which basically in translation means daddy, and you've got that kind of relationship with him. Those are the things you need to realize with God, because God wants to be able to go with you in the cool of the evening like he did with Adam in the garden and kind of hang out and chill and just whatever. I guess he wants to relax a little bit too after he's been dealing with the universe all day. So it's just one of those things. And he wants that relationship with you. And yes, he cares that much about you that he's willing to do that, but you've got to be willing to take a step. Oh, by the way, 40 different studies have now confirmed that GMO foods are destroying your health. Incredible. You'll have to be living under a rock to at least not heard that genetically modified foods cause damage to the body. The issue is as controversial as it gets, making headlines worldwide as it pits health advocates against billion-dollar bioengineering companies. By the way, this issue is not controversial. It's the truth. The bioengineering companies are the ones who want to continue to poison you because they make money off of it. Behemoth corporations like Monsanto, Dow, and Syngenta, now Bayer, each notorious in their own right, claim that genetically altering agricultural products is not only completely safe, but the next logical step in farming. Total lie. They proudly flaunt an endless array of studies allegedly showing that GMO results in cheaper, more robust, and nutritious foods. That's a lie. They're abhorrent crocs and nothing to worry about. That's a lie. At least that's what they want you to believe. And if you look simply at the results of their glowing studies, you might actually agree, but those studies are lies. But what companies like Monsanto failed to reveal is that all of their positive studies are essentially either directly or indirectly performed or funded by them or others in the industry, or equally as bad, these biotech companies had monitored or edited all of the GMO studies. Now, let me give you another little thing on that. I remember years ago when 60 Minutes, this is over 20 years ago, when 60 Minutes was actually trying to tell the truth before they'd given over to their advertisers, they did a whole expose on aspartame. Okay? You can still look up it online, 60 Minutes, aspartame, back in the 90s. And what they did is they actually interviewed a bunch of the folks from Monsanto who had developed, who had bought the aspartame from G.D. Searle. And what was interesting about this is they come up with this whole pile of studies that say that aspartame is safe. Well, then 60 Minutes asked them, which of these studies did you pay for? And they said, we paid for all of these studies. And they said, are there any studies proving aspartame is safe that you did not pay for? And the answer was no. There were no studies proving that aspartame was safe that were not paid for by G.D. Searle or Monsanto. That's how toxic that product is. And there are so many products linking it to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. The list goes on and on. I've got a friend of mine right now. I spoke to him yesterday. He had optic nerve degradation from aspartame. He's almost totally blind. He can't work anymore. He needs to have eye surgery. They don't know what to do because the optic nerve is so damaged. You can't drink paint thinner. It's not okay. You can't put methyl alcohol in your body. Methanol cannot be made non-poisonous. It is a neurological toxin that causes optic nerve degradation, which is what aspartame does. When you take the three ingredients, phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and paint thinner, or methanol, and you mix them together and you form this compound, it's very unstable in liquid. So when you heat up a diet soda to like 85 degrees at the back of a delivery truck, that product breaks back down and forms its constituent components. In other words, it reverts back to phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol. So when you drink it, it may taste a little flat or a little bit stale or whatever, but you're actually ingesting methanol. You're actually ingesting paint thinner. That's why it causes optic nerve degradation, and also it can cause auditory nerve degradation. This stuff is unbelievably poisonous. In one study that was done, every single primate tested on this product, these monkeys, developed grand mal epileptic seizures. So no, aspartame is not okay. So these folks want you to believe that aspartame is okay. They want you to believe that GMOs are okay. They want you to believe that vaccines are okay. They want you to believe that fluoride is okay. They want you to believe that trans fats are okay. They want you to believe that Crisco is okay. They want you to believe that shellfish is okay. They want you to believe that pork is okay. They want you to believe that sodium nitrite is okay. None of that is true. Those are all lies. None of it is true. All of these things contain toxins that are poisonous to humans, and they shouldn't be put into the human body. But see, that's what they do. They lie to you, they lie to you, they lie to you. Hence, we look at the statistics now, all these kids coming out with autism, all these people coming out with heart disease and cancer. It's because of what they've fed us, both in the food and the lies they have fed us. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, I mean, now more than 80% of all corn crops planted in the United States now are GMO. So you would think if those studies are accurate, the ones that Monsanto pays for, that GMO yields higher food, we'd say, okay, let's look at the numbers on that. Except they're completely contradictive. Remember, they did that study a few months ago. They found that the genetically modified corn in the United States from 1986 to 2013 was slightly lower corn yields over the exact same period in Western Europe, where genetically modified crops are not allowed whatsoever. The researcher done, I think it was by a Jack Heinzman, who was a professor at the University of Canterbury and New Zealand. Excuse me. So this is the thing. You guys have to start doing your own independent research. What we're seeing now from the mainstream media and the barrage of lies, it literally is like every single word that comes out of their mouth is a lie now. I was at the barber shop earlier this morning getting my hair cut, and they had CNN on, which I don't ever watch. But I was curious. I was kind of like, let's see where they're going with their propaganda, because I like to see it sometimes just to kind of understand how far they're willing to lie. And my goodness, that outright lies. I mean, they had a panel. They had three people on, and they're discussing Russia's involvement in Russia's hacking in the election. And two people, within a five-minute period, flat out said the hacking from Russia is an act of war and needs to be addressed as such. And I look at everybody in the barbershop. I said, does anybody in here want to go to World War III? And everybody kind of looked at me. And then one of the guys goes, no, absolutely not. I said, thank you. I said, this right here is what Hillary was supposed to do if she got elected, was take us to World War III with Russia, the other superpower. This is what they're trying to push now. Now they're flat out saying that Russia's hacking, which they do not even have any proof of. What's so funny about it, I looked it up today, the intelligence agencies are refusing to even brief members of Congress on the evidence of the claims that Russia hacked the U.S. presidential election. Refusing to do it. They literally have no concrete evidence. Yet everybody in the media is saying, we need to go to war now with Russia. It was an act of war. It needs to be handled appropriately. Obama came on TV last night or this morning. I don't know whenever he comes on TV. I don't follow him. He's a Yahoo anyways. But he said that he's full blown escalating the situation with Moscow now. He's saying now that I think there's no doubt that when a foreign government tries to impact the integrity of our elections, we need to take action. And what's so interesting about this is I'm sitting there going, but you guys won't release any information. You have no evidence. You have nothing. If this was one of those, it reminded me so much, guys, back in 2001 when they go,
that's right,
he's got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, 100% guarantee weapons of mass destruction. We need to invade them. We need to take over the entire country. We need to carpet bomb them before we do an invasion. We have to invade them now immediately before he moves the weapons of mass destruction. The exact same crap is starting all over again now with Russia. Now they're claiming Russia hacked the elections. Russia hacked the elections with absolutely zero evidence or proof. And it's funny, Trump got it out of tweet today, which he's a ham. He makes me crack up sometimes. He put on his tweet today, he goes, are we talking about the same cyber attack where it was revealed that the head of the DNC illegally gave Hillary the questions to the debate? That same cyber attack? Okay. It's interesting what we're seeing now, that and exactly what you just said, the outright lies about everything from our health to our economy to now a global war blaming Russia for hacking the election, which they didn't have anything to do with it, in my opinion. It's gotten insane now, that it really is.
Well, you have to remember, with 9/11, that was the Bushes, Rothschilds, the Clintons.
Yeah.
They were all neck deep in this stuff. This goes back to President Bush's father, Prescott Bush, being a Nazi sympathizer and being charged with trading with the Enemies Act and having his bank closed down in New York. One of the best friends with Adolf Hitler still uses the dinnerware given to him by Adolf Hitler at Skull and Bones at Yale for special occasions. These guys are basically satanic Nazis, these guys who are running the thing. See, everybody. I'm not going to try to go over the book with William Guy Carr. Read the book, William Guy Carr, Pawns in the Game, and he'll go over the different factions of the Nazi Party. And so read that. Remember, the Skull and Bones is complete and total satanic stuff is all it is. It's just, you know, they put guys in a casket naked together, and this is just sick stuff, okay? And so the whole thing about this is that these guys are losing their power grip because this is the Rothschild grip. And now we've got the other side of this story, the ones who put the country together, the Illuminati, if you would call them that, or the Masonic lodges that put together the Pentagram in Washington, D.C. And they've had enough of these Rothschild boys, and so there's this giant fight going on. The problem is the Rothschilds don't want to relinquish power because they know that Trump can go in and take their charter away as a central bank.
Yep.
They can take it away. And if he does that, they're going to lose their power because they're going to lose all of this control over the entire planet because other countries will start doing the same thing to the Rothschild cartels. So they're fighting, and we've told you guys this. We said that this right now, the time between November the 8th, my birthday, by the way, and the inauguration of Donald Trump is going to be extremely dangerous from a geopolitical standpoint. That's why we all have to stand and pray. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the author and the maker and the finisher of our faith and our salvation, Lord. I pray, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, that cooler heads are going to prevail and that our military is not going to go along with this. And our military is going to say no to Obama or to anything they try to escalate this war against Russia. And that Trump can get in, calm this mess back down, and we can live in peace and prosperity in the United States and globally. Father, as you know, we don't need this mess around us. We don't need this. And we need to be able to stay focused on what we need to do because there's so much to do for you and for your kingdom and for our own lives and for our own families, Lord. So, Father, nobody needs another world war. So I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus all over Donald Trump. I put a hedge of thorns around him. Lord, I station angels all around him, Lord, to protect him. And, Father, I pray that you'd thwart anything that Obama tries to do, this twisted, messed up neocon Congress that we have in charge now, these pedophiles, they can try to cover everything up with another war. I pray, Father, that you thwart anything they try to do and that cooler heads prevail and we can move on down the road, Father, and get past all of this. Thank you for that, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, guys, we have to all agree in the aggregate and believe in our prayers that we pray together. It's very important you do this. Oh, by the way, I've got to say one thing. I thought about this the other day. Years ago, I went to this, I had a friend of mine had a weekend retreat up in Tallahassee, I thought, and I lived down here in Central Florida, and he was one of the groomsmen of my wedding. This is, gosh, 33 years ago. And about 20 years ago, over 20 years ago now, 23, 24 years ago, he invited me to a weekend retreat. So I drove all the way to Tallahassee, which was 4 hours, and they took me back to Lake City, which was an hour and a half back towards my house, which was ridiculous. I could have just gone directly to the retreat. And when I got there, it was kind of a cult thing. Now, not a satanic cult, but like a religious cult. And they started asking us to repeat after them. Now, listen to me for a second. This is really important. I wanted to talk about this the other day and I forgot. So when you do responsive reading, when a pastor says, repeat after me, my response is always this, what are you going to say? That's what I always say. What are you going to say? I want to hear what you're going to say. I'm not just going to repeat after you. So if they start repeating stuff that you don't agree with, or they start repeating stuff that's negative, you don't have to repeat that. You could just say, I don't receive that. And let other people, you know, blabber it or what they want to do, but you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to put that stuff in your brain and you don't have to speak that negativity into your life. And I'll never forget, I got this thing, Austin, and all of a sudden they start telling us to speak all these like curses on ourselves with sickness and disease. And I just said, this is ridiculous. I said, absolutely not. And remember, this is 23, 24 years ago. This is a long time ago for me. I was still young. I was like in my 30s. And so I remember, then they told us that we couldn't speak the rest of that night. We had to be quiet. And they'd already taken our watches away from us, which I thought was a bit odd. And so I finally walked up to Dave Pulsifer. I should have never said the name. I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me. I hope you didn't hear that. Bam, delete that. And he was a friend of mine. And I said, Dave, I need to get taken back to Tallahassee. And because, you know, he didn't want to do that. Finally, I said, look, here's the thing, guys. I don't want to be here. And so I insisted, and they took me back to Tallahassee. Here's the point. When someone asks you to say something, the answer is no. Just say no. If someone wants to pray over you and you don't agree with what they're saying, just say no. If someone brings you a basket full of water moccasins and pit vipers and copperheads and rattlesnakes to your front door, and you look inside the basket and it's seething with rattlesnakes and pit vipers, and they say, here, sign for this. Somebody shipped you this basket of snakes. They're now yours. My response is, no, thank you. I'm not signing for that, and I'm not going to allow you to leave that at my home because I don't have any interest in that. Now, most people, when they want you to do stuff like that, they're not trying to do something bad to you. It's just, and most of them are well-meaning, but you've got to be vigilant right now, especially in these latter days. You've got to be so vigilant with the words that come out of your mouth because, listen to me, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, it's not really stuttering when it says that. And I really believe the reason it says that, because God knows the creative ability he's given us is the use of scalar waves and energy fields. And so he wants us to be very careful what we put out there and the negative stuff that we're going to say about ourselves or our families or our loved ones or our friends or anything. You know, even in their absence, my friends are safe in my company. I make sure I don't talk about people behind their back. Now, if friends make a mistake or they do something wrong and I've talked to them about it and I'm discussing it in an object lesson with my children during prayer time to tell them what to do and what not to do, then I may discuss something like that. Like right a few minutes ago, I was outside painting this wall, you know, with the paint that I picked up, and I'm talking to my kids and they had a friend there with them, and I just terminated an employee because they were lying to me about some stuff that was not even related to work. And I said, do you understand why I would lie to, why I would have to let somebody go if they start lying to me? And the young girl's here, she's like 16 years old, one of Harrison's friends, and she goes, no, I understand, why would you do that? It was not work-related. And I said, because if they'll lie to me about one thing, they'll lie to me about something else. And then once they start the lying, at that point, I don't know if I ask them to do something for me, if they've done it or they're lying. If they've done it right or they're lying. Or they're going to be doing it, staying on their cell phone, and they told me they weren't during the day, and they're lying. I said, when the lying starts, it can't be, you can't leave it there. Because remember, there's two foundation stones that you have to have in a relationship with an employee. You have to have that, especially if they're not being continually monitored or supervised. These are the same two relational foundation stones that you have to have in your marriage with your wife or with your children. And those two things are trust, number one, and number two is respect. Now, with your spouse and with your children, you have the trust and you have the respect. Those are the two foundation stones, and that stone of love is on top. So you have the trust, the respect, and that creates the love in a relationship. If you don't trust your spouse or you don't respect your spouse, you'll never love your spouse. People need to realize that. If you're dating somebody and they're lying to you when you're dating them, you have no trust. Now, you may be infatuated with them and you may be in lust with them. In other words, you want to have a relationship with them, a physical relationship, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have any type of ongoing relationship with that person that you're going to want to be proud of 20, 15, 10 years down the road. Because if you can't trust them when they're lying about stuff, because they're lying, you'll never trust them. If you don't trust them, you won't respect them. You won't respect them. You don't trust them. You can't love a person like that. The infatuation will wear off. So that's just a little bit of side note I want to take down for a second. So when you hear us say, hey guys, this is what we do. Hey, this is what we do. You know, when you say, when I tell you I don't eat pork, hey, I don't eat pork. You know, if you want to come to my house someday or down to the office or whatever, when you come to Central Florida, you know, depending or not, you know, if we have a time to meet with you, et cetera, you know, as far as whatever, I'd be happy to show you my pantry, and you're going to find out very quickly, we eat really clean. I mean, really clean, almost ridiculously clean. My wife is a eat clean fanatic. I mean, everything's organic, non-GMO. It's what we do, because this is what we preach to you guys, because we know that you guys trust us and you respect us. And we love you guys because you're here supporting us and listening to our show every day. So I want to maintain that relationship with everybody who's listening. So guys, rest assured that I do what I say I'm going to do. In fact, I tell you guys too much sometimes. Sharon fusses at me, goes, gosh, I can't believe you told them that. I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that, but they know I'm real. They know that I'm not playing games with them, and they know that I'm real and that we really care about them. That's why I do that. What do you think about all this, Oz?
You're absolutely right about it. I mean, exactly what you just said. If you have somebody that's lying to you, well, then you don't know if they're stealing from you, because if you ask them if something's missing or something's gone, you don't know where they're at or where they've been, and then they lie or they don't lie, but they've lied before, it really brings up a lot of questions. Now, obviously with, you know, family or something like that, you have to work with one another if something like that happens. But as far as employees, I'm the same way here at the office. We've had people working here because, well, you know, a lot of the stuff we do here, you know, it's unsupervised. Back, we have shipments, we have stuff in and out. I have to be able to trust every single person that's in this building all the time, every day when I'm here. I can't be worried about, well, somebody in the back stealing product, is somebody in the back shipping product out to somebody else. So it's very, very critical that everybody understands that. Also, too, I was going to say, I forgot to mention it with the Russia propaganda we're seeing right now, but remember, guys, that the Russian propaganda right now is all based on a lot of this because the military industrial complex and the contractors are no longer making large profits anymore. The
That's
war
right.
has scaled down significantly in the Middle East. And back in 2011 here, there was, I pulled the article up, just the top 100 largest contractors to the military sold just in arms and military services, as is on contractors and fees, was $410 billion. Now it looks like from the recent studies, it's under $100 billion. It's literally dropped off a quarter of what it was just 5 years ago. And now if you guys remember, the U.S. defense budget, remember this, the U.S. defense budget in the year 2000, before 9/11, the entire U.S. defense budget was $312 billion. In 2011, it was almost $800 billion. They have all this money allocated to them now. They have all these people that they're in bed with, essentially, all these contractors, all this military industrial complex facilities, machinery, equipment, plants, everything that's ready to spool up for another war. They have to start doing that so they can funnel more money into this complex and keep it growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Just in arms and services, guys, almost $500 billion in 2011 in 1 year, the top 100 biggest contractors. That's insanity to me. That has nothing to do with protecting the United States. That has nothing to do with paying down our deficit. It has nothing to do with feeding people. It has nothing to do with building infrastructure and rebuilding roads. Absolutely nothing. It's simply to buy arms and munitions and MRAPs and planes to go invade another country over in the Middle East, as now we see it with Russia. So always remember that, guys. There's always all these different ulterior motives with this propaganda and the lies that they're pushing on you right now. They want to take us to another war. It's been 15 years since we've done a full-blown invasion like in Iraq. They want to start it over again. That way, they can completely crash the economy, blame it on Trump, and then blame it on Russia for the World War III, and say, we didn't have anything to do with this. We had to attack Russia because of what they did to the election. If the economy collapses, they can restructure the currency. They can bring in a digital currency, as we've already seen them trying to do worldwide now, and then eventually bring in a full-blown global currency when nobody else can get along in the aftermath of World War III to try and bring everything together under a one-world government, with the UN, in my opinion, controlling a large portion of that. The same thing we see them do in the United States, taking this land. Now I have an article here now from CNS News. 18 different states now have filed lawsuits against the federal government over final rules that expand the definition of critical habitat. Now, at first, when you read this, you go, critical habitat, endangered species. No, that's very important. Yes, it's absolutely important for endangered species and having habitats for them to live there. This is what's going on now. The final rules, which are listed in the Endangered and Threatened Species and Designated Critical Habitat, expanded the definition of habitat at the beginning of this year to include areas in which species are present or habitats that are in nature. Species present is difficult to establish through surveys. I went, what in the world does that just mean? What are they even trying to say there? Well, they broke it down, and what they said, and this is why the 18 states have filed lawsuits against this, the final rule now that got implemented on March 14th allows the services to declare areas occupied critical habitat that they are not occupied by the species and that could not support the species were it to move there, but on the supposition that one day essential physical and biological features could possibly develop and the species could possibly return to that area. They want to deem those areas critical habitats so nobody can enter them whatsoever. They're basically completely off limits. They've done this all over the country now, and they're doing it slowly and surely under the guise of critical habitats, the same way the UN wants to build the mega cities so they can bring everybody from the rural areas into these mega cities and they can keep all the large landmass for themselves. This is the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, UN. This is what it's about. That's why I wanted to bring that topic up real quick, Dad, because nobody has really heard about that at all with the critical habitat.
Well, no, it's like this ridiculous protection they have on alligators, these 17 and 18 and 20-foot reptiles that eat people down here in Florida. I mean, you know, it's not even safe to swim in most of the freshwater lakes anymore unless you know they don't have alligators in them, or they have to put alligator signs up. You know, that baby was eaten at Disney World a few months back. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. I mean, this is not okay. None of it's okay. I mean, so the critical habitats are just, they're going in and saying, we want your land, so we're going to take it now under this guise, and the federal government comes in and just takes it. See, this has to stop. And again, it goes back to the UN guidelines, because remember, they don't want the United States spread out like this. They want people in pockets of cities where they can build their communist housing and have your little 200-square-foot house, room, apartment, next to somebody else with 200 square feet, and that's it. I remember when the movie Dr. Zhivago was, you know, playing way back in the 60s. You guys need to watch that movie if you want to know what communism is all about. And I remember he came back to his home after he'd served in the military when he basically got shanghaied, and he had like 25 families living in his home. And he walked in his house and he goes, but this is my house. And he goes, you know, you don't need this. You know, you're spoiled. You know, this is just this house will take care of 25 people, you know, 25 families. And so now you have to live here with the rest of us. You have this room over here. That's what they want. They don't want you to have the American dream. So you have to understand something. And I also was talking about this moment ago. I was thinking about this. The globalists, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, these guys, use the vernacular, they really bite. They're bad people, okay? And they've done a lot of really bad stuff to a lot of people. They've killed millions now in their unnecessary wars. But what they've also done, and we've seen this with that 70,000 person pedophile ring that got busted, you know, under Veterans Day, they talked about it. We covered it a couple months ago. They've got a whole group of these upper people, these globalists who rule everything, who like to have sex with children. And I'm talking all the way down to babies. I mean, these guys are perverted. We talked, and we showed you that yesterday with what happened in Norway. We've also got these guys killing people, human sacrifices, all of this stuff that started to surface right before the election, the week before, with the soul cooking with Podesta. Now, there's a lot more of that going on than you could possibly ever imagine at the higher ups, at the hierarchy. That's why these guys don't have a problem taking us to war, because they can cover up all of their crimes. They can destroy all the records. Remember, when Building 7 went down, it housed the, on 9/11, it housed the physical evidence for Enron and Ken LaHaye and the hundreds of billions of dollars that were stolen from the folks in California through incredibly expensive utilities. Everything was illegal they did. And there would have been a lot more heads rolling on that entire thing if the evidence hadn't been destroyed. See, Ken LaHaye, I don't believe he's dead. All of a sudden he gets found guilty and he's dead in his cell 3 hours later, and they cremate him like instantaneously. He's cremated like in 10 minutes he's cremated. Are you kidding? No, he had a failsafe switch somewhere that basically he was fixing to release a whole bunch of information on a bunch of people. So they took him out. He's probably living in a non-extradition country somewhere after extensive plastic surgery, you know, living in some mansion somewhere. That's what these guys do. So they can cover their butts, basically, is what they want to do. And a war will do that. A financial collapse will do that. But they're always going towards the final goal, the final goal, the final goal, a one-world government and a Luciferian state in which we all worship Lucifer, because that's their goal, because that's their father. They're basically the synagogue of Satan, the Bible calls them in the book of Revelation. That's who these guys are and what they do. And guys, listen to me for a second. That's really how simple this is. So we've got to be diligent. We've got to believe the prayer that we just believed, because our God is greater than their little God with a G, Lucifer. We're not going to tolerate this mess from them. And it's like I've said to them so many times on this show, if they've listened to this show, I'm going to say it to you again now, if you're a Luciferian. If you think your God is so great, why does he require the sacrifice of humans and children? Why does he require that? Why do you think that's okay? That's not okay, to torture people to death like that. I mean, why do you think he's a good God if he's the great guy, the good God, if he requires that? Yahweh doesn't require that. Jesus doesn't require that. Jesus gave himself as a human sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could be brought back to Yahweh through him, through the blood of the Lamb. He did this so we don't have to do anything besides accept him for who he is and believe on the name of Jesus Christ and believe that he died and was resurrected, and that he's here to save us. If we believe that, then our Christianity is done, as long as we do our best, as far as I'm concerned, to do the best we can and bring honor and glory to God. Now, do we have to be perfect? Absolutely no. And if we fall short, we basically have his grace, which is sufficient for us, to stand in the gap for us. By the way, Clinton investigation is back on. The FBI agents in New York ordered to continue the foundation probe. This is from Zero Hedge. Officials at FBI headquarters instructed its New York field office to continue its corruption investigation into the Clinton Foundation following the election of Republican candidate Donald Trump, according to a former senior law enforcement official. The instructions ordered agents to go forward with their ongoing inquiry into the Clinton Foundation, which is focusing on issues of corruption and money laundering. There were no instructions to shut it down, to discontinue, or stand down on the investigation, but to continue its work, the former official told the Daily Caller News Foundation in an interview. He said he received this information about a week ago, and that the order originated from the Bureau's headquarters in Washington, after the November 8th election. He did not know who at the FBI headquarters issued the order. The same source broke the news to the DCNF that the FBI was conducting a multi-city probe of the foundation in as many as five cities. New York, Little Rock. They got to go back to Little Rock, Arkansas. Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Miami. Now, here's what's interesting about this is you guys have to watch this if you're interested in this. And I mentioned this a couple of months ago. I want to mention it again. The Clinton Chronicles and the Clinton Circle of Power that were set out and promoted by Jerry Falwell back in the 90s, the Clinton Chronicles and the Clinton Circle of Power. If you watch that and you look at all the drug running these guys did out of Mena, Arkansas, remember, and George Bush, old Bush, H. Bush, he was the one who facilitated all of this with the CIA to allow all of this to go through. This is back in the 80s before Clinton was ever president, before Bush was ever president. The Clintons and the Bushes are best buddies. They're friends. I mean, like, they're like, you know, I'm sure they play golf together. They hang out together. So what's interesting about all of this, guys, is this group, this Clinton group, this Bush group, this Nazi group, is losing it. This Rothschild group, they're all tied together. They're losing their grasp on the power of the world and globally, and they're in full-blown panic mode because they know what they've done. They know where the bodies are buried, and they're afraid that we're going to find out and proclaim from the rooftops what they've done, which we have on this show, and where the bodies are buried. So, guys, we've got to stay in prayer. We've got to stay vigilant. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, things have to – if we want to have any remnants of freedom left in this country, which I would rather have more than remnants, I would have rather have full-blown freedom as it was designed, this country was built upon, we have to start taking back this country piece by piece and utilizing the tools that we have. And hopefully, like we said before, if Trump gets in there, he will start changing things and dismantling a lot of these tyrannical executive orders and laws that they put in place. I saw an article earlier here today. I just want to kind of bring it up just because it kind of boggled my mind after I read it. It was written by Philip Schlosser. It says the tax code complexity now costs the U.S. economy almost $1 trillion annually. 74,608 pages with 2.4 million words is the present size of the Title 26 of the U.S. Code of the Internal Revenue Service. IRS has now added an additional 7.7 million words of tax regulations designed to clarify what the original 2.4 million words mean. Add another 60,000 pages of tax-related case law essential to accountants and taxes and lawyers, and the burden is revealed. More than 10 million words with a hidden annual compliance cost of up to $1 trillion. This is what the Title 26 of the U.S. Code and the Federal Register has estimated to cost the United States economy each year. They said the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs estimates that it will take Americans more than 8.9 billion hours per year to ensure compliance with Title 26 of the U.S. Tax Code. This is equivalent to 4.3 million Americans doing nothing other than working on tax compliance for the entire year of 2016. That blew my mind, how needlessly complex this nonsense has gotten with the Federal Reserve and their pit bull branch, the Internal Revenue Service, which, by the way, guys, do some research. They're not even constitutional, nor are they even based in the United States. They're based out of Puerto Rico. So Trump talking about decreasing the taxes and everything else, I find that to be very exciting, and I really hope he goes through with that, because the current tax codes and stuff we have now is literally out of control. A lot of stuff the government has been doing is completely out of control. And as I said a few minutes ago, we have to start taking this country back peacefully through election like we did with Trump, and having the government by the people for the people, Dad.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, the tax code is needlessly complex. I believe in a flat tax. Everybody pays flat tax. If everybody paid a 5% additional sales tax and all the federal government tax went away, that should be enough to fund the government. That's a lot. So if you buy a $20,000 car, you've got to pay another 5% of that, be another $1,000 to the government because you bought the car. I'm okay with that. 5%, even if they raise it to 10%, that'd be a little bit rough on some income brackets, but I mean, you could do that. Just everybody who bought stuff had to pay taxes. I'm talking about stocks and bonds too. You buy stocks and bonds, you get to pay taxes on them too. I mean, everything. Whatever you buy, you get to pay taxes on. And I think really, if we did all that and got rid of the IRS, I think the country would go into unprecedented prosperity. The whole point is this though. The federal government doesn't even need an income tax. It never had one until 1913 on the people.
Yep.
It never had that.
Yep.
It was supposed to be temporary. They could fund it through trade. They can fund it through, you know, they can put, you know, import tariffs on. They can do all kinds of stuff. We just gave them the ability to go in and just take money from us with a gun to our head to fund the deficit, to enslave the masses, to put a tiered income tax system in, to prevent you from ever getting ahead, to prevent you from ever helping your children to get ahead, to keep you in a feudal slave-like state. I remember when Ronald Reagan took office, the top tax bracket was like 85-90%. Who's even going to work for that? You know, so you get to keep 10% of what you make? Are you joking me? So if you make $1 million, they're going to give you $100,000. The other $900,000 goes to income tax. I tell you what, I just retire. Just say I'm done. I'm out of the loop. Let me go. I'm finished now. Do a Galt. Do a John Galt. Just disappear. Do an Atlas Shrugged and just take off. That's what I would do. Oh, by the way, the Associated Press announces it is joining the fight against the scourge of fake news. As part of its broader fact-checking efforts, the AP announced Thursday that it will work with Facebook to help identify and debunk trending news stories that are being shared online that are false. AP wires and stories dispelling patently false trending news articles already appear on the AP wire and on the apnews.net and AP News app. These stories, which will now say AP fact-checked in a headline, include details on the AP's efforts to verify the facts in fake news stories. AP has long done some of the most thorough fact-checking in the news business, says Sally Busby, which is a total, complete lie, by the way. AP's coming executive editor. The initiative is a natural extension of that tradition and the AP's long-standing role. Guys, I'm going to share something with you again. The AP Newswire is owned by the Rothschild Bank. So is Reuters. When the Rothschilds say it's news, it makes the AP wires. If the Rothschilds say it is not news, it doesn't make the AP wire. If the Rothschilds can't control the news, they're going to tell you that you're hearing fake news,
yep,
which is complete and total nonsense. Nothing I've told you today is fake news. A lot of it's been my opinion. A lot of it's been articles that I've read, but it's all been the truth. Because I want you guys to realize that we're going to be here for you guys to the best of our abilities. And by the way, I want to thank you again for supporting Health Masters. We got a boatload of nice emails in again today. You guys are just the best. I love you guys. And I want to thank you again. So many of you are getting your supplements from us and multiples from us. It means so much to us that you're willing to support us. And guys, thank you again. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you on Monday or Friday night or Sunday night. We'll be playing the show we did yesterday on How to Be Born Again, which is a great show. And so Friday night, this is Friday. Monday night,
Friday.
Monday afternoon, we'll be back with you guys again. The show will be on Sunday night. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you on Monday. Austin, go ahead and close.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Check out the B Complex on Product of the Week. Incredibly good product. We've been selling a ton of it since it went on sale on Wednesday. You guys have a safe, blessed night. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday.